You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout. A Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna.
What is up, everybody? Sorry for the delay. A lot of moving parts to today. A lot of movement in the Bills Mafia, Buffalo Bills world. This is Shout, a Buffalo Bills football podcast brought to you by Tops Friendly Markets. And you can head over to topsmarkets.com right now and check out their weekly ad, which will give you all the details on all the deals coming up for the big game. You can get Doritos, some Lay's, some Scoops, Tostitos, anything that you want. It's all the Pepsi products. They have deals galore going on right now. There's also a mega meat sale happening. Gotta love the mega meat sale. Mix or match from over 35 different cuts, and you can buy one, get one free. Get yourself set up for the big game this weekend. Ryan, I'm not going to waste any time. We got a guest tonight, Antoine Staley from the New York Daily News. We are going to get into the Senior Bowl with him coming up here in a few minutes. But we wanted to start this podcast a little early because there's a lot of things happening today, and we want to get into it. We'll cover the Senior Bowl stuff with Antoine. We'll come back around and cover this as well if we have to, if we don't get into it before he gets on. How are you, my friend?
I am doing great. And Matt, before we get into it, Alex Barber in the chat, what's the number to get on that text group one more time?
Yeah, that's a good place to start, because I had mentioned on social media today if we were surprised about this move. And I said that we weren't, only from the perspective of kind of reading the tea leaves in terms of what's happening here. So the Bills and John Butler, longtime defensive, I almost put my own cell phone number in the chat. my thing would have been dinging up all throughout this episode here. I'll put the number 716-528-6727. I'm gonna put that up on the screen here. So if you're watching the show and if you want to become a Shout Buffalo Bills insider, just text that number. It'll give you a two-week free trial, $3.99 a month after that. And this is the season where you really want to get in on that. I was just talking to one of our insiders today. I'm going to the combine in a couple of weeks, and everything that I hear is going to get dumped into that insider text line. So everything that I learn. What we learned today is the Bills and John Butler, defensive backs coach since 2018, they've mutually agreed to part ways. And with that decision being made, there was a vacancy, and they hired Jamil Adai from Miami. I might be mispronouncing that. I don't have the spelling in front of me. But this is a guy that has been in the college ranks, the last few years. He is coming from the university, or Miami University, spent 1 year at Georgia. He is going to hold the title of cornerbacks coach. And it's interesting because the Bills have had a defensive backs coach the entirety of Sean McDermott's time as head coach, going back to Gil Bird, who had held the title in 2017 before giving way to Butler, who took over in 18. And this is a kind of a change in that, in just the structure of the defensive coaching staff, to go with a cornerbacks specific coach in Adai. Joe Dana still on staff as the safeties coach. They move in a different direction here.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting in terms of the restructuring. And, you know, first and foremost with Butler, phenomenal coach. He's done an outstanding job here, Matt, since he's been with the Bills. You look at the cornerback room, it feels like he's always made chicken salad out of certain situations here based on cornerback two.
Oh, you really just you had the opportunity to hit a home run, and there you did. You just lined it up the middle for a double.
I don't want to insult the players, but like he really did turn some guys into quality cornerback twos. You look at Levi Wallace, you look at Dane Jackson before, you know, the Bills obviously went out and drafted some players and they acquire Rasul Douglas, but he's always been able to get the best out of players. Taron Johnson at the nickel cornerback spot. He's worked with the entire, you know, secondary, and we know how good the safety room has been. So this is going, you know, big shoes to fill for a die, and he's done a really good job. The one thing I always look for when there's a coach, especially one that I'm not necessarily overly familiar with, is the reactions from the fan base. And people in Miami were really looking at him as this up-and-coming coach. They were disappointed to see him leave to join the Bills. So from that perspective, it seems like there's some upside to this move. But, man, replacing Butler is going to be tough.
So that's, I think, where we have to start. And you laid it up perfectly there, is that this is a coach that, you know, has been kind of the backbone of this defense for years. Somebody that Sean McDermott has relied upon for since 2018 to really spearhead the group that, if you take all three position groups into consideration, right, and just lump them into sections of the field, the secondary, the linebacking crew in the middle, and then the defensive line, you can make an argument that that unit on the back end has been the most stable, the most productive, the most consistent group for this team over the course of Sean McDermott's tenure. And, you know, you want to start adding up all pro nods, right? Like Micah Hyde, I know it was the second team. Jordan Poyer, first team, Tre'Davious White. And then to your earlier point, what they've gotten out of guys like Levi Wallace, Dane Jackson, Christian Benford, the latest example of that. And then, of course, Taron Johnson, throw another all-pro into the mix there. Yeah. So it's like this is a situation where, from everything that I understand, you know, Bobby Babich is a guy that's been, you know, groomed for this defensive coordinator role for a while. And Sean McDermott, when he made that decision, you have John Butler sitting out there who has been a steady presence on this coaching staff for years. And I even noted it in the article that I put up on the website earlier this season when they were trying to decide if he was going to call the defense or not, Sean McDermott. There was one preseason game against the Steelers where he gave play calling duties to John Butler, which kind of makes everybody feel like, okay, he's like the next guy in line, right? Like if they were going to make a move and promote a defensive coordinator, it'll be Butler. It ends up being Bobby Babich, who, if you go back a couple of years, Bobby Babich was an assistant for John Butler. So it's just a situation where the sides decide to part ways. You know, John Butler was promoted to the passing game coordinator last year. There's really nowhere else for him to get promoted up to. And so they're going to start fresh on both sides.
And listen, this league is a year to year league. And this offseason, Bobby Babich was the hot name, getting multiple interview requests for defensive coordinator jobs. And the Bills were kind of backed into a corner in terms of, we don't want to lose this guy. And what's the only way we can ensure that we don't lose him? And that's promote him to defensive coordinator, excuse me. And that's not to say he's not going to do a phenomenal job at it. But like you said, that also means there's some veteran coaches who maybe had a stake to claim for that job, like a John Butler, who is now out of the picture.
Thank you for joining us on the Staples Show here Wednesday, February 7th. It is 7:30 at night. We got a lot to get into on this episode. And Ryan, when we were starting to put together this show this week, I didn't really know where we were going to go. Like, you know, there was a lot to talk about, a couple like coaching moves that have happened over the last week. We had the show on Saturday at Wingnuts, and I didn't think a lot of people wanted to talk too much more about the Super Bowl. We kind of gave our picks. I didn't think we needed to dip our toes too much into those waters. We could kind of start fresh with our, you know, free agency look ahead next week. But then all of a sudden today happened, and there's so much to get to. But I want to go back to last week before we move any further, and we'll get more into the coaching moves that have been made. There's a new quarterbacks coach. We'll get into that as well. But I want to bring in our guest next because he's been so gracious to join us here tonight. He is from the New York Daily News. My man, Antoine Staley, covers the Jets, covers the entire NFL for the New York Daily News and was kind enough to join us. What's up, my man?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We are just living the crazy NFL beat writer lifestyle right now, right? Like it's a big news day in Buffalo, hitting that at the top here. But it's been a busy week for you, you know, heading down to Mobile, Alabama. Neither Ryan nor I were able to get down there. So I'm curious, I guess that's the best place to start. What was your big takeaway from the Senior Bowl this year, being down there, watching a couple days of practice? You know, where was the strength, the positional strength, and just your overall takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was looking at the quarterbacks, and obviously Michael Penix Jr., who was there, like probably the most heralded prospect out of everybody, and wanted to see how he did. And, you know, for me, I thought he was the best quarterback there, but also I thought guys like Spencer Rattler also kind of stood out there, won the MVP as well. I thought might have maybe improved his stop there. I still think he's probably a day three guy, but somebody that I think some team is going to be intrigued by at some point in the draft. But yeah, if you look at the strengths of the Senior Bowl and, you know, what stood out to me, I think it was in the trenches, whether you talk about the offensive line or also defensive line too as well. You look at offensive line there, Fuaga from Oregon State. I definitely think, you know, he might have solidified his spot, possibly, you know, a top 12 pick in the draft there. I think Johnson as well from Oregon, I think he was excellent there too as well. I think he solidified himself to be a first round pick too. And then you look at the defensive side too as well. Sweat there from Texas there, and also Fisk, who I really do like, and I think it might be a good fit for the Jets too as well. So I think the offensive and defensive lines there for me were probably the two best sides of down in Mobile last week.
You know, Antoine, defensive line or specifically defensive tackle is going to be a big need for the Bills this offseason with Ed Oliver being the only player under contract. What can you tell us about Tavondre Sweat? I know you just mentioned him, but what did you see all week from him? And, you know, potentially where do you see him falling in this draft?
Yeah, dominant. I mean, just dominant. I thought he looked like that in Texas too. I mean, huge guy. You're not going to move him because he's a mammoth of a man. You know, I'm curious to see what he'll weigh at the combine too. I mean, he did not weigh down there in Mobile, take his weight, but, you know, I think he's still trying to get himself probably in the best shape he can before the combine later this month too. But yeah, he was just dominant. And, you know, in the point of attack, also in the backfield constantly too as well. Somebody that's athletic, especially somebody as big as he is, which I think he's probably like 370, shouldn't be as crazy athletic in what he is too as well. But yeah, I think if your teams like Buffalo, like the Jets too, that could use some defensive tackle help. Obviously with the Jets, they do have Quentin Williams, but they want to, you know, solidify their run defense too as well. I definitely think Sweat is a guy that second, third round, possibly. I know the Jets don't have a second round pick, but obviously for Buffalo, I definitely think that would be a really good fit too, to help inside, especially if you're looking to replace a guy like Ed Oliver, who's probably, you know, on the way out there.
Sweat, he stood at 6'4", but declined to give his weight. Yes. What are we guessing that to be at about right now?
375, 380. That's probably my guess.
Okay. And then the other defensive lineman that really kind of popped this past week. Well, before I get to the guy that everybody was talking about, tell me a little bit about Alabama lineman Justin Igbo, who, listen, I was looking at some of his high school stuff, like, you know, reading through some of the Senior Bowl recaps, and this dude was freakish back when he was coming out as a high school athlete. Had himself apparently a big week down in Mobile. Do you think he's a guy that could sneak into that end of the first round potentially based on what you saw? Or is that somebody that could be a value day two pick for somebody?
Yeah, I think so too. It depends on, like, you know, if you need help at that that spot in late first round. And, you know, if he doesn't get picked in early, late round one, I definitely think you could see a team, you know, go into the second round or trade up. As we often see, especially now, those teams that make a trade early in day two. And, you know, I definitely think he was somebody that's popping off the tape there too, is a really good pass rusher and also really good against the run too as well. So, yeah, for me, like, super athletic. Definitely well coached, especially if you're going to play under Nick Saban. I mean, you're definitely going to have to be well coached technical as well. So, yeah, I definitely think he was one of the best players down there, especially on the defensive side of the ball down there last weekend.
So, and then just one more real quick on the defensive line, Ryan, before we move on. Darius Robinson was the guy that I wanted to mention because he's really interesting to me for the Bills because of his like position flex. And Ryan has that look on his face like this is maybe where he was going. But I think he could be somebody at the end of the first round that I know Bills fans are going to probably be like, oh, not defensive line in the first round again. But a guy that, you know, with this kind of potential and versatility to play inside and outside, do you think that he could be a real nice pick there at the end of the first round?
Yeah, I mean, if he, you know, if that's what they wanted to go to, and it's kind of what you said, like he has versatility, and I think that's kind of what you're looking for, whether you talk about the Bills defense too. And I think, you know, the Jets defense is also similar too, is the way where they look for guys that can play multiple types of positions, what on the inside and on the outside too as well. And, you know, I think he really stood out at college too. There's definitely that flexibility there, be able to stop the run and also be able to rush the passer too. So, yeah, if you're looking for guys that can make an impact and potentially grow and be a force defensively, yeah, I definitely think Robinson is definitely a guy you should definitely keep an eye on.
And for Bills fans watching, I know, you know, they're all thinking wide receiver, and I promise you we'll get to the wide receiver talk here in a minute. But Antoine, before you came in, we were talking about the Bills with some new coaching hires. Jameel Adai from the University of Miami comes in here. Obviously, he coached Cameron Kitchens. What did you see from him in terms of at the Senior Bowl this week? What do you think of him as an NFL prospect in terms of maybe being a potential fit for a Bills team that certainly is going to need some help at safety?
Well, obviously, yeah, that's definitely going to be a point of emphasis for Buffalo there. Yeah, Kitchens is one of my favorite safeties and one of my players would have watched coming into the Senior Bowl too. Like, definitely a lot of flexibility there. I mean, he can, you know, we'll line up in a lot of different packages, be your traditional safety, but also, you know, be, you know, line up as a nickel too as well. And definitely, you know, if you're looking for somebody that can not only is good in coverage, but also can come up inside in the box too as well and load up and help you run coverage too as well. So, yeah, I think Kitchens would be great, especially for what Buffalo likes to do, especially at the safety spot too as well. And that way they can get a little bit younger too, because, you know, as good as Jordan Poirier and Michael Hyde has been for the them, then they definitely, you know, they're getting older there, you know, had some injuries too throughout the years as well. But, you know, having a guy like that with the flexibility as Kitchens, that I definitely think that'll be beneficial to the Bills defense.
Was there any other safeties that kind of stood out during the week? Because this is a situation where, you know, first of all, Kitchens could, I know safety is not usually a position that goes off the board early. Even Brian Branch last year is a good example of a guy that, you know, second round. Yeah, and there was mock drafts, I remember, early in the cycle that had him going, like, top 15. And then we get to that part of – and it's like running back. I feel like it's that position that just gets devalued in the draft. Is there any of those other, like, safeties that were down there that you're like, wow, this stands out and maybe could be in range for the Bills in the second round, maybe if they go receiver in the first?
Not necessarily. I think really the cornerback position, I definitely think was, if you look at a guy like Mitchell for Toledo, I definitely think he was the guy that, you know, looking at all the secondary guys, like he was the guy that kind of stood out there the most out of everybody. But, you know, I think the rest of the safeties were kind of like, you know, it wasn't nothing necessarily impressive about them. I think they kind of, you know, they were who they were coming into Mobile. And, you know, I think they were pretty they were the guys that I thought they would be coming down there. They really didn't pop off the tape, especially, or pop off when you're watching practices too. But yeah, I think out of all the defensive backs, whether you talk about safety or cornerback, yeah, Mitchell for me, I think he maybe solidified himself as a first round pick, whether it be in the middle or the lower first round.
And as promised, now some wide receiver talk for the Bills Mafia. A lot of wide receivers. Xavier Leggett was one that I think some Bills fans are kind of keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
Anyone catch your eye at the Senior Bowl? What did you think of Leggett? What do you think of this draft class as a whole, not just Senior Bowl prospects?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as like prospects as a whole in this draft, I think it's very deep. I mean, obviously, you know, you're talking about Rome, Dunze, obviously Malik Nabers. I think those are the guys. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. not going to be in play for Buffalo, but I think the best prospect in the draft. I think it's a very deep wide receiver core. If you talk about guys that were down in Mobile there, Jamari Thrash, I definitely think is a guy that, you know, one of the shiftier wide receivers and, you know, forced a lot of missed tackles when he was with the Louisville Cardinals last year too. So, yeah, I definitely think he's somebody that's very impressive. That was, I looked at too as well. You talk about Wilson, who I definitely think he stood out to me on tape too. Roman was, I think he solidified himself as a second round pick too. Not a big guy, but also somebody that was, they constantly found ways to get open, whether it be making, you know, tremendous one-handed catch or also just finding different ways to get open. And then Ricky Pearsall, I think he was another guy for me that kind of stood out too throughout the course of the week. Saw him a lot. I'm watching a lot of SEC football in Florida. That's kind of my background. But I think Ricky really solidified himself as possibly maybe a third-round pick somewhere in the draft.
Yeah, Pearsall's one-handed catch, I mean, going back and watching that over the course of the past week reminds you how special, like, the kid can be. I'm interested on Roman. He's somebody that obviously I saw him in one NFL.com mock draft or put given to a team late in the first round, which, I mean, wow. Man, that's going to be – that's high. That feels high, even coming off of a good Senior Bowl. The thing with him and Ladd McConkey that's tough is that I think the Bills have their own version of that player on the roster already in Khalil Shakir. So mm-hmm. I think that kind of eliminates those kinds of players. You said you've looked at Wilson on tape, and I'd be interested to know how you saw Michigan use him and if he has any versatility to get outside. Because, you know, I look at a guy like the dude from Oregon that you like, Ryan,
Troy Franklin,
like that to me is the perfect fit. This the burner outside guy that could fit into this offense with Shakir in the slot, Diggs still on the other side, as opposed to maybe like a Wilson that's a little bit more, and even a guy like Malachi. Give me the last name. I'm still kind of trying to get. He was at the Senior Bowl, I think. What's his last name?
I know who you're talking about too. Yeah.
This is gonna bother me.
Now I'm blanking out too, like the last day.
Oh no, Ryan, come in with the save here. Give it to me.
I was just about to ask about Luke McCaffrey, so maybe that can be the transition point while we look up.
His name. There you go. Ask about that. I'll find the name.
So, you know, Luke McCaffrey, a lot of fans were intrigued. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's brother, good bloodlines, transition from quarterback over to wide receiver at Rice, I believe in 2022. What did you see from him at the Senior Bowl? And then, you know, is this a player that might get overdrafted because of the last name, or is this someone who has high upside and might just go to a really good fit whenever that may be in the draft?
I think McCaffrey, I mean, look, he's not somebody that I think is going to go in the first 2 days, but I definitely think he's somebody that's well-coached, obviously played multiple positions, former quarterback there. So I definitely think him being a wide receiver can definitely really help him. And, you know, I also think he had a solid week too, and then is trying to solidify himself as maybe a fourth or fifth round pick. But yeah, I definitely think, I don't expect him to be like this super impact player, but if you're looking for somebody that's, you know, going to get you to move the change on like a third down situation there. Yeah, I definitely think he's somebody that can definitely do that. And yeah, back to Wilson. And also you want to talk about Troy Franklin, like for Wilson, I definitely think he has a lot of versatility. Michigan used him on the outside at times. They also used him in the slot too. He's not a big guy. So he's going to be a slot guy in the league most likely, but he can line up on the outside too as well. And not very fast, but again, I don't think he'll run very well at the combine. I don't think his speed is going to jump out at anybody, but you look at tape, he was always open. He always found ways to get open. He was Michigan's leading receiver as far as touchdown receptions, but, and also just yards as well and overall receptions. So yeah, I definitely think he was just tremendous. And I think first round would be, you know, I don't know if I would take him in the first round considering his size, but I definitely second round, day two, I definitely would do that for sure. And Troy Franklin, I really do like too. I mean, he has explosive speed. I mean, he can just, you know, flat out, like if you're looking for a guy, especially you got Josh Allen who has a cannon for an arm, like you got Troy Franklin like running down the sideline, that could pose a lot of problems for defenses.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I've just been starting to kind of dive into all the draft stuff and seeing Franklin, because I don't watch a lot of college football during the season. That's why I love having you on, Antoine, because you're like, you're a do-it-all kind of guy, yeah, man. Yeah, you're crushing college, you're crushing the NFL. Like, you're a hero for all of us. But like getting to kind of watch Franklin, to me, it's the perfect fit because it's not just the speed and his ability to catch deep balls, but it's to track them. Like, to me, to be a great deep threat in the NFL, you can't just like get open. You got to be able to track. There's so many. How many balls this year, Ryan, for the Bills, whether it was Diggs or Davis, where they just overran them or underran them, or, you know, just not on the same page with Josh Allen. To me, that's where Franklin, to me, is so exciting as a prospect. And I think if he runs off the, you know, the grid here coming up in a couple weeks in Indy, you're talking about probably like a early 20s kind of pick. And I know it's tough to project these things because right now he's available almost in every mock draft you look at 28, but we know how things change. How do you see that top five, if you have him in your top five? And I know not everybody does, but you obviously have Harrison, Odunze, Neighbors, and Brian Thomas from LSU, probably as the consensus top four. Where do you see those, that four, that run of four ending, if that's your four, and where does Franklin fit in?
Probably fifth. Like, I would say fifth. I mean, you know, Keon Coleman is a guy some people don't like, some people do like. I do like him, although I think, you know, what's going to be big for Keon is, you know, the way that he runs, and also because some people don't think he can separate from defenders in the league. And, you know, he made these tremendous catches at FSU, and that's all good, but I don't know, you know, I don't know how much he's going to be able to do that in the league. So I think that's a valid concern there for him. But, yeah, I think him and Franklin, like, are right there. But, you know, I think what separates Franklin is really, you know, the type of offense that he played at Oregon. I definitely think when they brought Kenny Dillingham in, and, you know, obviously Dan Lanning became the head coach, they really opened up the offense a lot, and which also helped his skill set a ton there, so that you were able to see when he was able to track balls, and also, you know, his explosiveness too as well. And Dan, I think that really just, you know, opened up Oregon's offense in a different way. So for me, I have Franklin in the fifth, and probably Keon probably like sixth, which may be, you know, either late first round or early second there.
Very good. I have a question for you from our Shout Insiders. We put out these texts to them asking them tonight if they had any questions, and they had one for you. Would be curious to know if Antoine thinks the Jets hype will be as big for next season as it was for this. In theory, it would be, right? Defensive pieces back plus Rodgers. But now you throw, obviously, Buffalo still controlling the division. Miami, you know, second year in a row, they've done very well in the regular season. Is the hype for the Jets going to be as high in 2024?
I don't think so. I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe again. You know what? Like, we all were guilty of kind of just saying, okay, Aaron is there, he's going to solve all of their issues. And he didn't. I mean, even though he didn't play, but even if he did play, I don't think he solves all their issues. They might have won a couple more games than what they did, but, you know, I still don't think they would have won the division, especially considering, look at the offensive line. They had 14 different combinations in 17 games. That's not really sustainable for anybody. I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, you know, whoever, like, yeah, you're going to have some problems there, you know, if you can't have a consistent offensive line as well. And then obviously you look at the wide receiver core. I mean, you have Garrett Wilson, who's, I think, is tremendous talent. Breece Hall is amazing as well. But, you know, to find that second wide receiver, they gave Alan Lazard $44 million yeah, 4 years, and already Robert Saleh is counting the days on when they can release them. So, yeah, I think they have some problems. They're going to have to fix like a lot, like especially on the offensive end. They have some defensive tackle there. I know Jordan Whitehead will be a free agent at the safety position. So I don't know if they're going to re-sign them. But, you know, I think offensively they have a lot of issues to address. And until they do that, then I'm not picking them to do much of anything. And then, obviously, you know, you talk about just the, some of the smoke that's came out, you know, the Athletic article and detailing a lot of things that's going on. I kind of knew a little bit of some of that stuff, too, as well. It just seems like it's really a make or break year for the Jets, too. I mean, they got a mulligan for Aaron getting hurt last year, but yeah, they won't get that again. Like, they're going to have to find also a solid backup quarterback just in case Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Because let's face it, I mean, the man is 40 years old, and old people tend to get hurt when they play football. I'm not saying he's going to get hurt again, but right, you never know. You need to have a insurance plan just in case that were to happen again. But to have improved otherwise, Buffalo still control the division there. I think as long as they have Josh Allen, that's their window for opportunity. I think the Dolphins are in a different situation where they're going to have to start paying people right now, quite frankly. You got Christian Wilkins coming up there. It'll be interesting to see what they do. And then, obviously, you know, they're seeing like they're going to commit to Tua. And I don't know what the other parts are going to change around that, too. So it's going to be interesting to see what that team looks like. And they're going to have to make a decision on Xavier Howard, the longtime veteran. Seems like he might be on the way out, too.
It's a great roundup. I want to, just because of all the news here and some other stuff that we have to get to, I wanted to do a deep dive around the AFC East that maybe we'll save for after the Super Bowl. We'll bring you back on. We'll do it then. But I want to ask you one more question before I let you get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, there, as we start to look at some other like types of receiver, we talked a little bit about Roman Wilson and obviously McConkey, who was kind of like the apple of everybody's eye last week. I mean, just, you know, on the heels of Puka Nacua, like, that to me, that guy is probably going to go a lot higher than even he would have in a normal year. You have a lot of those kinds of players in the draft. Like I mentioned, I don't know if the Bills are shopping in that area. Talk to me a little bit about Devontae Walker, Javon Baker, and then Brendan Rice, who I'm super intrigued about because depending on his positioning and where he goes, a lot of production last year, obviously the bloodlines with Jerry Rice are interesting, but of those three, who was most impressive and who do you think, like, if you're projecting the three of them long-term and maybe even, I'm not super familiar with Baker or even Walker, maybe they are also in that pot of like slot receivers. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if not, which of those three do you think is going to have like, you know, the potential best arc here?
I think Rice had a really good week last week at the Senior Bowl, too. I mean, a lot of people were, you know, I know Mel Kiper didn't even have it on his draft board at one point in time. And then all of a sudden now I think he's starting to gain a lot more traction, too. And now looking like a possible day two pick in the draft. I mean, you know, he really separated himself, found himself always open against defenders there. Had some good reps, too, against Mitchell, who we talked about for Toledo as well. So I think for him, I think his game is a little bit different than Walker and Baker. I think Baker and Walker are kind of very similar where they have, you know, you talk about the acceleration, you talk about the speed there, you know, with Baker, he does have a strong build. I think he's about 6'1", 200, a little bit over 200 pounds. His ability to separate, I definitely think to create that separation, I think is key. So I think if you're looking for a guy that's kind of off the radar a little bit, somebody that hasn't been talked about, I think Baker could be a guy if you're you can look at too as well and hope you can develop. And Walker, Tez Walker, he didn't have the best of weeks, although, you know, I think he was kind of up and down at times. But I definitely love this tape at UNC. And I mean, especially if you're watching May, you definitely can, you know, notice Walker and what he can do there, the acceleration, you know, that he presents too as well. And definitely, I think he was the fastest receiver on record at the Senior Bowl last week. So if you're in the speed there, you're in the tracking the ball there, I definitely think Walker is a guy that you could potentially look at too as well. But to answer your question, I probably feel a little bit more comfortable about Rice just simply because, not even bloodlines aside, just kind of like him as a route runner. And I definitely think he can be probably the more consistent player out of them. But I think if you're looking for possibly potential out of all these guys, I think Baker may present that for you, especially the way his frame is and also, you know, the speed that it comes along with it.
You going to the combine, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll see you there.
You know how to find me, so you know how to text me. Just text me.
I will. But we'll run this back. We'll get a little bit more into the, you know, the NFL side of things. Obviously we'll still talk draft, but I'm curious to pick your brain with all the tape that you've watched these college guys, and I'll see you in Indy, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, man, I can go on and on. Yeah. So yeah, definitely. I appreciate y'all having me on, and yeah, we'll talk soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
Yeah. Y'all too.
All right. There he is, Antoine Staley. You can find all of his work over at the New York Daily News. Find him on Twitter as well. If you're X, whatever you want to call it. He is, what do you call it these days, Ryan?
I still call it Twitter more than anything else, yeah, but I try to throw in like the little backslash X when I'm talking to people about it. But
yeah, whatever. Enough. He's at Antoine Staley, AntWanStaley. Find him over on X, Twitter, whatever you call it. All right, Ryan, let's get into back on the coaching train here. One last thought on the whole Butler situation and, you know, how they're kind of going in this direction. You know, we talked about it at the top when somebody was asking about joining the Insiders. You know, we had talked about at the end of the season, a conversation that I had with Kyir Elam, and it was weird. Like, you know, a lot of times, like when I talk to a young player about the experiences they've had, you know, over their first couple of seasons, you know, I ask them sometimes like, who's been there for you? Who have you leaned on? And I kind of just flippantly asked like about John Butler, like his position coach, like how much have you leaned on him? And he kind of looked at me with a stare, weird stare, and, you know, was like, no comment. And so I was like, oh, that's very, very strange. Like that usually doesn't come in that way. And I want to read a quote that I had up at the website. If you go over to NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse.com, you can read my story from this. He followed up the no comment by saying, I wasn't there health-wise for my team. I only played in 3 regular season games. I really couldn't explode or couldn't run. It gave more power to the person not to play me. Basically talking about John Butler. I just feel like when I got healthy and able to show that I could take the ball away at a high level or go out there and be a great player, I was able to do that when I got healthy. I'm going to continue to work hard and keep striving to get better. That's all I can do. So obviously a bit of a disconnect, even back then, between Butler and Elam. But it's a situation where, listen, the proof's in the pudding with what Butler was able to do for this team over the course of his career. And I think if you look at the totality of this thing and all the players that he did develop, I've been a little bit critical of the Elam experience with the Bills. But I don't think you can scoff at Butler's track record and his ability to develop guys. And who knows, going inside, maybe we'll learn more about that over the next couple of weeks. Like, you know, what really went into that disconnect, or, you know, what were the draft conversations around Elam when they took him? We knew that McDuffie was probably more of the guy they wanted back in that draft, but it doesn't always work out that way. And maybe a lesson learned for Brandon Bean, if he's in that position once again. We're talking about these wide receivers, right? Everybody's talking about getting a wide receiver. Maybe there's a similar conversation, and instead of just trading up and taking the best of what's left, maybe it's a situation where you look to draft a different position group and come back with another player later on, because they landed Benford in that same draft, who ended up being a starter for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's one route. They have 10 picks in this draft. They can also get aggressive and try to make sure they're not the team that gets leapfrogged, which has been something that's happened over the years at times. They kind of did it last year. They leapfrogged in front of Dallas, thinking they were going to kind of go that route for Kincaid. So sometimes you sit and you wait and you hope for the best, but the Bills have been burned in that regard at times. The Kyir Elam part is interesting. It gives him a new lease on life here in Buffalo. Probably, you know, he probably wasn't too heartbroken over the news today based on the no comment, based on the fact that he wouldn't even refer to him by name when commenting about it. Gave more power to the coach, as you said. So in that regard, you know, Elam probably has a better shot of playing a bigger role. But the grand scheme of things in Buffalo, all the players that have come in here under John Butler, the vast majority have played at a high level, have done a really good job. Sometimes I feel like that they have outplayed their skill set. They've been coached up so well by Butler that, you know, they don't make mistakes. They're in the right position. They might not be the flashiest or most athletic players, but they're always well coached and always where they need to be. I mean, even when he came over, was it Kevin Johnson that they brought in from the Texans? Yeah. And he had the history with concussions and injuries, but when he was on the field, he looked pretty good. Free agents, draft picks, a lot of these guys have come in and done a really nice job. So it is a big loss in the secondary even if it does end up giving Elam a better shot of playing a bigger role in 2024.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Definitely a loss. Definitely something that, you know, it's going to be a hard thing for them to fill. Let's flip over to the offensive side of the ball. The Bills also did make a little bit of a move on the defensive side before we go to the offense, adding a defensive quality control coach to the mix. Let me bring this up. Christian Taylor, I believe, is his name. Am I saying that properly?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. He comes over from William and Mary, if I'm not wrong. Again, a lot of stuff is happening right now, so I'm trying to like put it all together. But yeah. I saw an article shared by Bruce Feldman, who covers college football for The Athletic. He does that Freaks List every year. And he did a pretty big deep dive. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and read it yet. I came right from my son's basketball practice. But it's a deep dive into Taylor, who was the offensive coordinator at William & Mary and now is going to be the defensive quality control coach with the Bills. Feldman said Taylor had the most creative offense in college football and now will work on the defensive side for the Bills. So that's kind of an intriguing hire. Not only that, but like, maybe Joe Brady gets him in a couple meetings and picks his brain about some of the innovations that he had at the college level with William & Mary.
Yeah, and you know, the pipeline of William & Mary to Buffalo is strong now. Sean McDermott, Joe Brady, and now with the coach you just mentioned. I like the, you know, they're going out there. They're looking for these creative minds. If you can scheme things up defensively, that can maybe frustrate a Patrick Mahomes, because that's been Buffalo's kryptonite in these playoffs is – Mahomes, nothing phases him. They don't get home from the pass rush. So they get pressure, he eludes it. On the back end or the linebacker position, you know, they're giving up a lot of receptions, and injuries played a role in that this year, obviously, especially at the linebacker position, but on the back end and the secondary too. But bring someone in that can get creative and maybe can throw some things that he hasn't seen yet, that has a history in terms of being very smart offensively with creativity. I don't see much downside in a move like that, Matt.
No, that's going to be an interesting one to watch, and I'm very interested to talk to Sean McDermott about the hire here in a couple weeks at the Combine. We'll also talk to him about this whole John Butler situation. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball, and a lot of questions. It came up on Danger and Battaglia over on ESPN or The Fan Rochester earlier this week about what the Bills are doing at their quarterback's coach position. Because when Brady was promoted, they never really filled that job. They had kind of Mark Lubick, who's an offensive assistant, and Mike Shula, who's a senior offensive assistant, kind of like, you know, both in that room, adding their expertise. We got to this part of the offseason, and it still hadn't been filled, even since Joe Brady had been promoted. The Bills make a really intriguing hire. They go out and they get Ronald Curry, who has served last season with the New Orleans Saints as their quarterback's coach and offensive passing game coordinator, somebody that was in line or in the mix to be their offensive coordinator. They went in a different direction. He is the Ronald Curry, if you think back to North Carolina days, played quarterback there, played hoops there as well, which is really cool. Shout out to Scott Maranto, who said, who did he say that he played with on those
Julius teams? Peppers.
Julius Peppers, who was the ultimate two-sport athlete. What a freak. But a really intriguing hire. And I said this on Danger Battaglia, that, you know, there was internal candidates. Why I thought they would go external is to bring another voice into the room. Like, you know, when you're when you're Josh Allen, you have Kyle Allen in there. You're now super familiar with Joe Brady. You had Ken Dorsey before that. You had a familiarity with Brian Daboll, who helped develop you. Sometimes I think getting a message that's a little bit different, a different challenge, I think could help raise your game to a whole nother level, see things in a different way. And I think Curry brings in, you know, a lot of experience. He's had a bunch of different roles. He's been in a wide receiver's room. He played wide receiver in the NFL. He played quarterback in college. So this is a guy that's seen a lot of football. Really interesting to see how this kind of marriage works, because that's a really important job. I mean, I think Brady did a good job as quarterback's coach. We've come to learn, which, by the way, I was very, you know, what's going on in that room before the ultimate move from Brady to quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. But we've learned, you know, Josh Allen had a really good relationship with him, had one with Ken Dorsey too. That's been a really important position over the course of, you know, Allen's arc.
And listen, this Ronald Curry addition, I really like it. You dig into it. He had been with the Saints since 2016, so he spent a lot of time learning from Sean Payton. I know that Joe Brady was only there for a few seasons, but he has a very big Sean Payton influence in the way that he coaches in his system, in his scheme. They were together for 2 years in New Orleans, and he was a coach that was so well respected that after, you know, Sean Payton, quote unquote, retired from the Saints and from football, he stayed on with the next regime, which was an internal hire. And that makes sense. He was offered the wide receivers coach with this next regime that's coming in, and he turned it down to come to the Bills to be with Joe Brady, someone, like I said, he's coached with. And I always like those players that, or these coaches that have some playing experience. It's not the be all end all. But this is someone that UNC set all these records as a quarterback, total yards and things like that. And he had three different offensive coordinators. He had some injuries, and he still kind of grinded things out. He was a top 10 recruit in basketball and football before he committed to UNC. So he has that high, you know, the pedigree. He knows what it's, he can relate to a lot of these athletes that the Bills have and that they'll bring in through the draft. Well-respected, was getting some offensive coordinator interviews as of last year. So someone that was thought highly of. It's definitely an intriguing hire based on the relationship he already has with Brady, and I do like this move.
I like the move, too. I think it's a really good move. We got to run out of here, but head over to the Topps Red Zone right now. You can go over to toppsmarkets.com/redzone to get the full breakdown. Topps is the place to shop for everything you need for game day. And there's a big one coming up on Sunday. I know Bills fans probably aren't super excited about the game, but it's a Super Bowl. We're all going to watch. We're all going to participate. We're going to have the conversation. And the good news is when it ends, we can flip the page on this season and we don't have to talk about the Chiefs anytime soon. And listen, I'm picking the 49ers. I'm sticking with that pick. I think they're going to win that game. I think there's going to be a lot of happy Bills fans on Sunday. But find amazing savings over at Topps with recipes and more over at toppsmarkets.com/redzone. One last shout out. If you want to become an insider, get a 2-week free trial, and then your first month at $3.99 a month will be while the combine is happening. I will be boots on the ground Monday through Friday. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to have great guests. I'm on the podcast that week. I'm really excited about it, Ryan. I'll give you the final word here.
Yeah, I cannot wait. You know, Bills Mafia, you might think it's the off season, but this is an exciting time to join the Shout Insiders Combine coming up. We're going to have information about pre-draft visits, the virtual meetings. The insiders will get all that information first. Then obviously before you know it, it is draft season. A lot of information there. Football season never ends. Join us as the Shout Insider line, which Matt had up earlier on in the show.
716-528-6727. We will see you very soon. He's Ryan. I'm Matt. We'll see you later.